Thanks everybody for joining. Especially, I want to say a special, right off the bat, thanks to Rebecca for jumping in and helping to put this class together. It's been quite the journey in preparing it. So this was a study really, really for me. It's kind of on the same journey that I've kind of been on here for a little bit with spiritual formation, and this is definitely kind of a part of that. And so it's really been great, and so I'm looking forward to sharing with you. So I'll try not to PowerPoint you to death and keep it moving. And so when we go here, part one is going to be about being. And I'll elaborate on that in just a little bit. And the part two will be on doing, right? And I think it'll be pretty self-explanatory as we go through. Exodus chapter 19, 5 and 6. The Lord is speaking to Moses here. He says, "Now, if you obey me fully and keep my covenant, then out of all nations, you will be my treasured possession. Although the whole earth is mine, you will be for me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation." These are the words you are to speak to the Israelites. And so you see, coming right out of captivity in Egypt, God's plan was always to have his people be this kingdom of priests, a holy nation. That was like the plan. You see, it was kind of here, and it says, "If you obey me fully and keep my covenant, then this is what you will be." And we, if you know the history, you know that there were some problems with that, right? So, but then again, you get to Jesus, and you get to this new kingdom. And you see here in 1 Peter chapter 2, he says, "But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of him and who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. Once you were not a people, but now you are the people of God. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy." 1 Peter chapter 2, 9 through 10. And so you see something here where God is always going to fulfill his plan. He had it, and he wanted to demonstrate it with the Israelites coming out of Egypt. And now, again, as he sets up the kingdom here, he says the same, really, same words, right? This royal priesthood, this holy nation, right? A special possession. So Peter is hearkening right back to the scriptures here that we saw in Exodus. The cool part here, though, it says in Exodus, it says that you will be my treasured possession. But here now, Peter is saying you are. And so it went from will to you are. And when I say that, so much of this class was for me, I don't necessarily look at myself this way. And so when we talk about leading like Jesus, alluding to what Phil talked about earlier, we're all leaders, right? So it's, obviously in the church, you have, certain leadership roles, and you may have an evangelist, and, you've got elders, and you've got other different roles. We have our, kind of tradition of leadership where we might have like, life team leaders and other things that we may put in place. But if you're here as a Christian, you are a leader. And God expects us to be this royal priesthood. And so just by the fact that we are Christians, we're here to lead people to God and to represent that. That's what he expected, and that's what he wanted the people of Israel to be this representation of on earth to represent him, and now he's fulfilled it again in us. So sometimes we can look at ourselves based on, maybe our career, or we may look at ourselves based on, what position we may have within the church, or, we may have a family, we're leading our family, whatever quote unquote, official type role it might be. The fact is, we're a royal priesthood. And so wrapping our heads around that is super important. You can see how important that was for the nation of Israel. It's important for us as Christians also, that although we stay humble, we really need to understand and embrace this idea of being a royal priesthood and exactly what does that entail. And also just God's grace and even calling us to that and making us that. Just based on his grace and mercy. So if you're here, I don't want you to think about, oh, this is for leaders and I'm not a leader or I want to be a leader. No, if you're here as a Christian, you're a leader. And so it's definitely appropriate that we take a look at leading like Jesus because he's the man. And so I called it being because as I studied it out, this term kept coming up again and again and again. And I have a few scriptures here, and hopefully that will lead you to kind of where I came up with this. And it says, in your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus, who, being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man. He humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. And so we see right off the bat that this being, it doesn't have to do with leadership. It's who Jesus was. He took on things internally. So this whole process that we're going to be looking at is really something that's inside out of who we are inside. And obviously I highlighted, the being pieces because as I read through, I was like, man, I've read this so many times, but when you're talking about leading like Jesus, it really has to be about who you are internally, not what you're doing. What you do matters, but why you're doing what you're doing matters even more. So it is about being. And one of the things you see here about Jesus, and this was a big deal, right? So, the fact that Paul is mentioning this. This was a really, really big deal, first, second, third century church, about what type of being was Jesus. There was a lot of controversy around that, a lot of splits and really fights in the early church about who was Jesus, who was he in being. And so that these comments that Paul's making, they carry a lot of weight because he says being in very nature, God did not consider equality with God something to be used. And that whole mindset is going to come up again and again. You'll see that in just a bit. But it's about being. And so he goes on here and he says, Paul says, be completely humble and gentle. Be patient. Bearing with one another in love. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. Be completely humble. So, what I've, learned over time is that the order of things, the way that the Spirit led these folks, matters. And this humility that comes up, it kind of goes right back to the verse that we were talking about, where even though he was God, he did not consider equality with God something to grasp, right? The humility of making himself nothing, being found as a servant, being made in human likeness. That's all about being humble. And then everything else comes off of that, the gentleness, the patience, the bearing with one another in love. All of this is about being this inside attitude of this is who I am by decision, right? It's by a decision. First Peter says, finally, all of you be like-minded, be sympathetic, love one another, be compassionate and humble. And so then you see it play out again with Peter about this inside of that, this is who you are. This is where it starts. We're not talking about, yeah, you're doing it, but it's who you are. It's an overflow of what's inside of you. And so how do we get there, right? So it was the thing, okay, now we want to do something, right? And so we want to figure out, okay, so how do I get to this point where these qualities are inside of me so that I can lead like Jesus, not just do what he did, but be like he is from the inside. And so in 2 Corinthians, I got a clue of where I need to start. And he says, and we all who with unveiled faces contemplate the Lord's glory are being transformed into his image with ever increasing glory, which comes from the Lord who is the Spirit. And so, what I understood from this, and I'm wrapping my head around, is that we are being transformed. We're not transforming ourselves. We are being transformed. And we're being transformed by the Holy Spirit. He's working within us and on us to be transformed into the likeness, the image of Jesus with ever increasing glory. This is something that God has to do within us to get us there. So, okay, so I'm still looking for something to do. So, what am I doing? Well, the doing part is contemplation. It says here that we all who have what? Unveiled faces contemplate the Lord's glory. So our part in this process is contemplating the Lord's glory. That's what we need to do so that the Spirit can continue to work on us. Right? And so it was funny because I signed up for, I've been going to like several different like teachers conferences, right? And so the next one is coming up and it's taught, and it just happens to be about the art of becoming. And this is a quote from the website. Like, so the Teleios Society is doing this, is the Teleios conference and coming up here in February next year. And it says the spiritual life isn't just about what we know or do, it's about who we are becoming. Now, this was totally like just the spirit, right? Because I didn't look at that before I created the class, but I happened to go back in because I was checking on my registration. I said, oh yeah, I am signed up for it. And oh yeah, it's about this whole idea of becoming. And so it's not just us that are looking at this. It's really kind of something that's going across the fellowship. And a lot of different Christian places, there are going to be a lot of people speaking at this conference with some major credentials, talking about this. And what they call it is the art of becoming. And so I'm very interested to see exactly what that is. But this is something that Christians, a lot of Christians, are trying to wrap their heads around because it's very easy to get into the doing and totally not be in touch with who we are becoming. But our place in this is about contemplating the Lord's glory. That's our part. And then the Spirit will do his part. And so I had to really take a look at, contemplation. And it says here, contemplation refers to the act of deep thinking or reflecting on a particular subject, idea, or experience. It often involves a careful and deliberate consideration where an individual might explore their thoughts and feelings in a thoughtful manner. Contemplation can be a way to gain insight, understand complex issues, or simply ponder life's questions. People may contemplate in various contexts, such as during meditation, while journaling, or simply when taking a quiet moment to themselves. Sounds like quiet time to me. Are those times that we take to kind of look at the Lord? But this is our part. This is what we can do. It's about this, the act of deep thinking or reflecting on a particular subject, idea, or experience. And we learn from the last scripture that this is all about contemplating the glory of God. And so, when we talked about this, I kind of use this scripture a lot, but I believe that there's a lot of way to contemplate the glory of God. Psalm 19, the heavens declare the glory of God. The skies proclaim the work of his hands. Day after day, they pour forth speech. Night after night, they reveal knowledge. So just by looking at God's creation is one way to contemplate the glory of God. John looks at it this way. He says, the word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. So another way to contemplate the Lord's glory is just reading the Bible, looking at Jesus. Because, when John looked at Jesus, he says, hey, you know what? We have seen his glory. And so if John saw it, we can see it too. We get into the word and we start looking at Jesus, we see the glory of God in that way. And basically, anytime we read the scriptures, we take a look at it because they were inspired by the Holy Spirit. And so if we read our Bible, we are again contemplating the glory of God, the fact that we have his word to be able to go in. And so there are a lot of ways to do it. But if the Spirit, as the Spirit is working on us, our part is this contemplation. Now, what I found out is that we can get in the way. We can get in the way big time of the Spirit doing his work. I think slow it down, frustrate him. And I got this quote here from Gordon Smith. And if I recommend it, this is an awesome book, Courage and Calling, Embracing Your God-Given Potential. This is an awesome book. Challenging, but awesome. But he says, we are living with the crisis of the active life. The life of engagement with the world is for many, if not most, marked by a hectic, busy, and bewildering pace. We have a remarkable capacity to live overworked lives, caught up in hectic activity that has to be done. This is one of the sins of modernity, and of life and work in urban industrialized societies. In our disturbed passion to accomplish so much, and to accomplish it as soon as possible, we have lost the sense of true leisure and also of what it means to be reflective and contemplative. And so, life, if we let it, can get in the way. We're so busy. There's so many things on our mind. There are so many things pulling at us. So many things to get done. So little time to do it in that we don't have the time to contemplate. Or our time to contemplate is cut short. Or we put it off. And we can really get in the way of contemplating the Lord's glory because we're just too busy. But that is our part of becoming, to take the time to contemplate on the Lord's glory. And so, however we do it, Paul talks about, whatever is pure, he says, look, think about this stuff, think about it all the time, meditate on this word. We can do that in special times, when we get away and like have that quiet time, that reflective time. We do it during the day, but we need to be doing it. And we've got to take a look at our lives and put things in the proper order to say, yeah, a lot of things are important, but nothing's more important than me contemplating the glory of my God. Because again, who am I? Whatever I'm doing, whatever my job is, whatever I'm busy at, I'm a priest. I'm part of a royal priesthood here. So what am I doing? And so here, this humility begins to, move into this whole idea of servant leadership, being leading like Jesus, right? And here, Claire Marie brings up a very important point. It says the radical nature of Jesus's servant leadership, right? It's what she's talking about. It says leadership in the world often revolves around power, authority, and control. Many believe that to lead effectively, one must dominate, demand, and dictate. However, Jesus turned this concept upside down. He introduced a leadership style centered on service, humility, and love. And so we're beginning to see here the development of, okay, what is the world going to do? What is it going to put in? And if, if you're like me, I've had leaders that fit all of those categories, dominating, demanding, dictating, Hopefully I wasn't one of them. I tried not to be. But if you've ever served under one of them, it's not the most fun thing in the world. But it's very easy to bring in kind of this world view into the kingdom and think that somehow leadership is going to be the same, right? That these are the qualities that a leader has to have rather than being like Jesus, where he led the way that he was constituted inside. He was centered on service. Again, this word humility and love. Everything changes because he says, she said it here. It says it was upside down to what the world expected or what the world looks for, and sometimes what the world even appreciates. Jesus was totally different than that, totally different, because that's who he was inside. And so I want to take a minute here. I want to turn it over to Rebecca and let her share for a little bit, and then I'll come back.
Thank you, Ted. The concept of being versus doing has had a huge impact on my life as a Christian. So, in contemplating the Lord's glory, I also want to contemplate when we have that time with God, that quiet time, how this applies to me. At one point, I confess, I did focus more on a list of things that I had to do in order to quote unquote be righteous, right? Instead of focusing on being with Jesus and then allowing my actions to flow from that relationship. And this can carry over to the roles where I may be in a position of leadership. either by title or by influence or by example, since leadership doesn't necessarily mean having an official title like Ted shared. We know people may lead in any setting where they have influence. It could be a group of peers at work or friends. If you've ever tried to agree in a restaurant with a group of friends, right? Somebody has to influence the group to agree. Or let's say leading a small group. If I focus on the things that I need to do, like reminding everyone when Bible talk is happening, collecting money for food for a small group dinner, getting the RSVPs for events, these things can become a project, right? They're all good things. They're all things that can be done and should be done. But at a certain point, I could just see them as responsibilities, and then they can become overwhelming. The tasks can become just duties, and then they become very impersonal and very uninspired by the Holy Spirit instead of inspired by the Holy Spirit. But if I focus first on being with Jesus and then being like Jesus, then the actions flow from there. The actions become less and less obligations and more things that flow from the Holy Spirit out of me. I'll reach out to my group because I want to serve each person by facilitating a way for them to be together with the body so they can come be inspired in their walk with God. Each person, each sister, each brother, each neighbor, each stranger we meet is an individual. They have individual needs, wants, and interests. So if I approach each person like with a list of tasks in mind, I know this can come off very cold, right? That's a very cold approach if I'm just relying on my own strength and it's not very personal. And as a sister, as women, we go through different seasons in life and different emotions that come along with each of those seasons. And so if I approach my friends the same way all the time with a list of duties, a list of tasks of what I need to do, I would completely miss what that person may need for that particular time in their life, what may be important for that particular time in life. I'm not being like Jesus, I'm just being like me, right? Being like Jesus means meeting people where they're at. And that takes prayer, that takes contemplation and asking the Spirit to give me wisdom and discernment to be self-aware first, too, and to grow in this area. So thank you, Ted, for this class and allowing me to share how it's helped me.
Awesome. Thanks, Rebecca. That was great stuff, man. Leading like Jesus. So it takes a certain point when we talk about getting back to this humility. Jesus says, by myself, I can do nothing. I judge only as I hear, and my judgment is just. For I seek not to please myself, but him who sent me. So, if we're going to start talking about being like Jesus and we're talking about this transformation from the inside, and again, we'll be going from this class being to talk about doing, but we got to start with this humility. If Jesus says, by myself, I can do nothing, guess what? By ourself, we can do nothing. Nothing. At least nothing godly. It says we there's no way we're going to lead like Jesus if we don't take the humble stance of, you know what? This is about God. By myself, I can do nothing. I can't do this. I can't be who I need to be. He says, I can do that. I am totally reliant on my Father. And he says, and the reason why that worked out so well, he says, I judge only as I hear. And says, and my judgment is just. Well, why is it just? Well, because I'm not seeking out to please myself. And that is a humble stance, because it's not about pleasing me. It's about what does God say, right? So what did I read? What did I hear from God What am I learning from him? And how am I applying it? And it's not about me, and I'm not doing it to please myself, but I'm doing it because God sent me. So we go back to this whole idea again of being a royal priesthood, right? To declare the praises of him. By myself, I can do nothing. I judge only as I hear. If this is Jesus doing it, if we're going to lead like Jesus, this has got to be our attitude. We got to start here. We got to stay there. Because again, when you start working on the leaders who veer off this path, it's hard. It's hard. So living this humble life, right? This whole inside out thing. And especially as leaders. And I think, again, leadership is, we can keep going back to this, but as a Christian, you're a leader. It's what you get in the water, you come out, you're a leader. But within roles, I think the thing that I've seen, within the church as much as anywhere is living a humble life. Starting with that whole idea of being transformed so that the Spirit is increasingly making us where being humble is part of who we are. Because again, Gordon Smith makes a really, really good point here. He says, when you're living a humble life, he says you're free to accept limitations as much as we do our potential. Our limitations, those limits to our abilities, or even those areas of non-strength, the things we do not do well, right? And he goes on, he says, no, nobody does everything well. So there's going to be things we don't do well, can be accepted with grace and humility. We do not need to feel diminished by them. We need both affirmation and criticism are essential to our development and to the discernment process. We need the encouragement of affirmation. We need the discipline, the accountability, the checking of our aspirations that comes with criticism. We are not flattered by praise. Our spirits are not crushed by criticism. This is an essential posture from which we are able to live and work with freedom and joy. And so again, this is stuff that I've been growing through this book, Courage and Calling. But this is critical, right? It's critical because if we're in it just because we want praise, and when we get some kind of criticism or correction or some kind of feedback, and we get all bent out of shape and get attitudes, how is that the humble life? Like, what are we wrapped up in where we're more concerned about title rather than about being like Jesus? So these are things that, as we are becoming that this is, again, this is that attitude. And I think these are the things that as we begin to understand how the Spirit is working, is does your head get less swelled when people talk well about you or your name is mentioned? Do you get all bent out of shape and upset and get down when somebody, gives you suggestions or criticize you? Because as you see those things changing and you're praying about those things, if you're seeing it coming up, that if you see it getting better, the Spirit's working, right? Because this is not stuff that you can just decide to do. I mean, you may do it for a little while, but it won't last. You'll get super frustrated because, again, you're doing it on your own. You can't do this on your own. You can't be like Jesus on your own. But I think especially for those folks who have titles in the church, this is especially important. I know anytime that I'm looking and I'm doing a class or I'm doing anything, it's just, I know that this is always a temptation, a temptation. You do not want to get a big head. Stay humble. Just be glad you were able to talk about anything today. But it's super important because again, when this gets out of whack, then again, I've been in situations where it's gotten way out of whack. It's not fun. It is hard. It is hard on the soul when you're around people like that and leaders like that. It gets really tough. And so let's take a look at Jesus. He says, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." And so, if we're going to become like Jesus, then this is like the goal, right? So that, look, when people come to us as a leader, whether you're just in a discussion with somebody or you're leading somebody to Jesus, or, I mean, whatever it is, as this leader, as this royal priest, when they come to you, when they walk away, they should feel like, hey, you know what? That person is gentle and they're really humble. And they ain't pretending. It's real. It's from the heart. See, we want to get there from the inside because that's what Jesus said. He says, "I am gentle and humble in heart. This is who I am." And he says, "When you come to me, you're going to find rest for your souls because I'm not going to make it tough on you. And my burden is light." See, that's the way that people should come to us with that at, feeling that and walking away with that. And so a little challenge is that, go back and talk to the people you're leading and ask them what they think about your leadership. How are you doing? And again, praise, criticism, be wise in who you talk to about it. Hopefully we have some people who are close enough to us that we can take the criticism and not get all bent out of shape. But it's good to get feedback. It's good to understand how do people see you? And if you have like a quote unquote leadership role, it's really, really good to kind of go back. If it's your family, it's like, look, how am I doing? You don't want to go say, well, I'm the leader of the family, and so how am I doing? No, how am I doing? Is it easy to be around me? What do you think? How are you doing? And then those things that come back and be like, okay, this is stuff I need to pray about, and Spirit, please work. Do what you got to do to help get me in the right place. And let me make sure I'm spending the right amount of time here contemplating the Lord's glory so that I'm not an obstacle to what the Spirit of God is trying to do in my life. So I'm going to end it up here. The next, again, part two will be doing, and we'll take a look at some real practicals. But again, first things first. Let's make sure we're being who we need to be. And as we're working on that, like you're never going to be at this perfect place before you actually start doing something. But as we're growing in that area and we're understanding, the why behind what we're doing, we'll take a look at some real practicals next time, Lord willing.